It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, rescuing our food. Because in the U.S., we waste up to 40% of our food supply every year.
Businesses are wasting about 80 billion pounds. You add to that households, then that's another 80 billion pounds. I mean, we're wasting so much in this country, it's insane.
This is Jasmine Crowe Houston. She was on the show before in 2021 talking about her company Gooder, which connects businesses that have too much food with people who are going hungry. And since we last spoke, her business has continued to grow.
Right now, we are in about 15 states, 26 different markets. We're pretty heavy up in, like, New Jersey, in the tri-state area.
I went to see how Gooder works at their headquarters in Atlanta. In a large warehouse, pallets and pallets of food were stacked up. Today was bread day.
So lots of breads, lots of breakfast items, snacks, bagels, English muffins, and our team is going through it.
Usually this would all end up in a landfill.
In America, when we go to the grocery store, we are looking at dates, and we want the newest things, the things that are the freshest. So when a company is bringing in new bread, they're taking off the stuff that's already on the shelf. Nothing's wrong with it. It's just like, hey, I have a whole new rack of brand new things,
and
there's only so much shelf space.
So instead of getting tossed, Gooder workers were sorting them into three broad categories. If the products weren't expired, they'd deliver them to food kitchens, schools, shelters, and churches.
Anything that's edible is going to go out to nonprofits all across the city today.
Okay. If the food wasn't rotten, it went into another pile to be delivered to farms for animals to eat.
Whatever is non-edible, we are going to get to a cattle farm.
The rest would get taken to a massive composting pile where it would get turned into good dirt and taken to farms.
And we're going to sort through it and nothing will go to landfill.
Jasmine says companies pay for waste management anyway. They might as well pay to have their excess food donated. Plus, this way, they get a tax deduction. The goal is to turn food waste into a win-win-win. Better for hungry people, the climate, and businesses. And it's all done with the tap of an app.
So the app essentially inventories what it is that they have. They tell us, hey, I've got 15 racks of bread. We get it picked up. Now, this is more of a white glove service. So on our end, we're tracking what it is. How many of the items are breakfast? How many of the items are snacks? What's wheat bread? This is what we do on the back end. It gets picked up. We get it delivered. When the nonprofit receives it, they sign for it almost like they would a UPS package. And the driver takes a picture, and that signature generates a donation letter into our client's portal. So now they have a record of everything that was donated, plus they see what went to a hog farm or what went to compost. So it's kind of like a pie chart. This was donated, this is recycled.
And do you tell them how many emissions they kept from being released?
Yep, we let them know for poundage, so we measure it by pound. So for every pound of food they keep out of landfill, we tell them what the CO2 emissions are that they're helping to prevent. So I want to say last year with Gooder, we had about 7 million pounds of CO2 that we prevented and about 5 million meals we provided to people in need.
Later, Jasmine joined me on the TED stage to explain more about her business model and why companies are initially reluctant to change how they can get rid of their excess food.
And I think what it is that the old guard is we've always done it this way. We've always thrown it away, and this is how we do it. And, of course, when I was first starting, people were like, oh, well, if someone gets sick, and we'll get sued. And so Gooder said, hey, we'll take on all of that onus. We provide the packaging materials. We provide the labels. When nonprofits receive the food, it comes from Gooder. They sign hold harmless agreements. I have a multi-million dollar liability insurance because the airport was my first customer, and we were driving on tarmacs, and I ended up having to get insurance that I wasn't quite ready for. But it definitely helped the business. And even with all of that, people will still say, well, we're just afraid, or our lawyers just can't wrap their heads around it, or, you know, we're going to compost everything, even if it's edible.
Talk to me more from the corporate side. How did you get people to come on board with this? Like, did something have to change when it comes to laws and forcing companies to do this? Is it because they want to be able to say to their customers, like, we are a sustainable company? Like,
So what I used to do is I would go to the websites of the big hotel groups, the big food groups, and I would look at their sustainability reports. This is how I got the airport as a customer. And I went to them and I said, hey, you know, 27% of, I'm looking at your waste tonnage, and 27% of this, according to the EPA, is food. You guys are sitting in College Park. 64% of the children in this city are living in poverty, and all this food is going to waste. So I think so much, it was really about making people keep their promises.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, hey, I won't say the hotel group, but I was like, hey, you guys said you're going to cut food waste in half by 2025. This is in 2 months. Like, why have you guys not started? Like, what's the process? People need to keep, I think we live for the announcement.
Yeah.
And we as people don't follow up.
Yeah, yeah.
On the delivery.
Growth. What's, I mean, we should be clear. You're not a nonprofit.
I'm
you are
not.
A B Corp. Why is that important to you? Why did you decide to go for a for-profit company? Is it because that is something that you hope to scale? Where are the pros and cons with that?
There was a couple things. One, I think the nonprofit was going to be a much harder old guard to get past because everybody always donates to the food bank. It's all we ever know. We've been doing canned food drives since we were 8. Our kids are still doing it in school now. And I felt like I was going to be spending a lot of time trying to gain respect.
Huh.
The biggest piece that I saw, though, was that businesses were already paying to throw this food away. So this was not newfound spend. They're already paying Waste Management, Republic Services, whoever their waste company is. Mind you, the waste industry is a $1 trillion industry. None of us ever say, let's just keep our trash. We are paying for this on a daily basis. So when I realized that, this was not going to be newfound spend for these businesses. It was going to be a better spend. So dollar for dollar, we're a little bit more expensive, but the outcome, the return on the investment for our clients is far much greater than they would ever get from a traditional waste company. And so I do look at us as a triple bottom line. We're for people, we're for planet, and we are for profit.
Back at the warehouse, I wanted to know if food waste is a problem that Jasmine thinks can go away. Like for one of her first clients, the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport.
Food waste is inevitable. There's no preparation for it. I remember when I was first starting this company, I would go and pitch to investors and I would say, like, listen, we're going to help them track the things that they waste the most. We're going to get things diverted from landfill. And people would ask me, well, wouldn't you put yourself out of business? Because if they know what they're wasting,
yeah,
they're going to stop wasting it as much. And the thing is, you plan for 100 people at the airport, you people get delayed, and now you've got 60 people there and 40 meals that are extra. That's what happens. And so that's why there's waste.
But do you ever get people who are like, ugh, this is so annoying. This company is creating more hassle for us. We used to just throw it away, and now she's changed the whole thing, and we have to sort it. We have to put it over there. We have to call them.
Yeah.
Like, what?
You know, sometimes at the top, but not at the bottom. When we first started with the airport, a lot of the concessionaires were like, oh, this is going to be a big hassle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told them, hey, this is not a huge habit change. It's not going to cost you a lot more in labor. It's going to maybe take these people 5 to 10 minutes to, instead of putting in a landfill, put it in a package and just someone go into the app and request a pickup. What we found is when we went over to the airport and I started talking to different employees about it, these are people that themselves are living on the marginal poverty line, making $9, $10 an hour at the airport. And so many of them said, I used to hate having to throw this food away when I needed it at home for my family. Like, people think it's going to be harder, it's going to be a lot more, but the circle of life here is so critical. I mean, this is creating this circular economy. And for someone who's living on the marginal poverty line themselves, working in the food service industry, they often don't get a chance to give back and to be part of this because they're really just trying to survive.
I mean, every state must have different laws or different corporate responsibility goals or even just different sentiment towards this. Tell me what the landscape is like out there.
I would say New York and California are on the rise. If you think of this from a global issue, which of course it is, countries like France, Italy, Denmark, they actually fine businesses for not doing this. So it's a big deal. But in states like California and New York, they are introducing legislation. Mm-hmm. There are no fines yet, but it's coming. I think the actual enforcement is a little delayed. I do believe that once that enforcement starts, then businesses are going to be calling and knocking down our doors, trying to get to us because they don't want to be fined. one of the things that we're kind of pushing for in Georgia, specifically in the city of Atlanta, we want when any business gets a food service license, we want them to have to select a nonprofit or an organization that they would donate edible food to and a location that they would compost with. Just having that on their brain and having that be part of the process.
Just normal. What you do?
What are you going to do? What is your plan for your food waste?
If you had to say what your biggest obstacle is or challenge in terms of, like, I see it in your eyes, you're sparkling, you have growth on the brain. What's going to make it hard for you to do that?
And there's two things. One is obviously access to capital as a company, because a part of us getting more companies to join on is being able to get in front of them. So I think that will make it hard, specifically because I'm a woman, specifically because I'm a person of color. I think the other thing that makes it hard is people wanting to stick to the old guard. And we cannot do the same thing and expect different results. We have to make changes. And I should have 100 employees in here with more than enough work, and everybody's working 40, 50 hours, because that's how much food waste is out there. Mm-hmm. But we're not getting it. Mm-hmm. We're not getting to the level that we need. If you're an everyday person, you're supporting your local stores, your local businesses, ask them what they're doing with their food waste. If you find that they're not doing anything, ask them, have they heard of Gooder? We've gotten calls from administrative assistants who are like, hey, I order food at this office for all of the team. We have so much waste here. You need to come and meet with our executive chef at the cafeteria. Like, this is what happens. So no matter who you are, you have the ability to kind of make a change and get people involved in this journey with us.
That was Jasmine Crowe Houston, founder and CEO of Gooder. You can see her full talk at TED.com.